Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced, and you're listening to the Alex Merced cast, or me podcasting, I guess. But what I want to talk about today is politics, racism, division, all this kind of stuff, just because I was just really kind of thinking about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, regardless of whether you're on the right or the left, when you're dealing with politics, you're typically dealing, and when I say politics, I'm talking about specifically electoral politics, the politics of deciding who's in the power of government, and just the nature of what you get when there is the power of government, in the sense that there's these hugely powerful positions that, you know, have a sort of a shared power among everybody, whether they consent to it or not. And the nature of this is that people are going to want to seek that power, and when it's selected by the mechanism of elections. And again, this is not to say that any other mechanism is all that much better. Again, it's just the fundamental problem is just the gargantuan power. When you have that kind of a prize on the line, you'll find ways to corrupt whatever system there is to get that power. But in elections, what happens is that you have to make your case to individuals who vote. And you need to make a case that tends to kind of move people, that tends to kind of motivate people, not just to vote in your direction, but to actually show up and vote. And maybe even discourage people who would vote for the other person to vote. That's sort of just sort of the nature of the game. Okay. Now, there's, of course, sort of like democratic idealism where it's supposed to be about making, you know, where everybody wants everyone to participate, that the goal is really just to find sort of the thing that everybody wants, or sort of, you know, to balance out everyone's needs. It doesn't happen, and particularly with sort of first past the post voting, which means you have to get 51% of the vote to win. What the result is that you tried to create a message that 51% of the people agree with, because that's all you need to win, okay? And oftentimes, a message that gets 51% of the people together is convincing that the other 49% are the problem, okay? Because no one likes to hear that they're the problem, that the reason their problems haven't been fixed yet is because of something they haven't done. They want to believe that everything that's going wrong with their life is because of someone else. This is what a populist message is, that the idea is that what's wrong is not you, but something, someone, somewhere else. And, I mean, this is, populism is really kind of taken hold. You know, this idea that all the problems in the world, again, are someone else's fault. Nothing, you have to change nothing. Everything you're doing is just fine. Which, of course, that is a better selling message. Who wants to be told that they have to do anything to fix anything, okay? Now, of course, there's people like me who find the idea of being responsible for yourself empowering. Not that it's a burden on me, but that it basically lifts all limits on my possibility. That's why I'm a rabid libertarian, because I find the idea of being responsible for my outcomes exciting, empowering, thrilling. And that's I think a good message. I think it's a message that does sell to some people. But a lot of people don't think about things that deeply. They don't think about large philosophical. They're just saying, I have problems. Tell me who to blame. And then you have these populist politics. You have sort of on the left, where basically you're blaming on either along class lines, or it's a matter of racism or sexism or something like that. So it's usually, versus where on the right, it's oftentimes a nature of, oh, it's secular society trying to hamper down on your right to practice your religion, or it's people from other cultures, whether they be immigrants or people who are different than you in other vectors, who are the problem. The problem is always other people who are not you. Okay, you figure out who your voters are, and then you say the problem is the other people. And then there's people that both people love to lambast because they don't vote. Okay? Immigrants get a lot of lip service but get no help. Why? Because they can't vote. So basically, it's easy to kind of throw them under a bus. Same thing goes for people who are incarcerated. So it doesn't matter whether you were incarcerated fairly or not. Once you are incarcerated, you are convicted of a crime. You cannot vote in most places. So no longer does your opinion matter. You're an easy person to blame, so I can blame you without consequence. And that's just the nature of things, okay? It's easy to sit there and say, you have problems, I feel bad for you, Bob did it. Okay, what you need is someone who's going to help you fight Bob, okay? Because Bob is the cause of all your problems. And if we just took care of Bob and had someone who was brave enough to go take care of Bob and make sure he's no longer causing you problems, you would have a better life. You'd be able to feed your family better. You'd be able to keep your job. You'd be able to have a living wage, all these kind of things. Okay, it's always just like it's somebody who's standing between the way and you and not having problems. So my point is, politics is naturally divisive. So if you don't like things like racism, you want there to be less racism, you want there to be less classism, less sexism, you want people to be more embracing of immigration, you want people to be more embracing of the things that unite us instead of trying to hyper-focus on the things that divide us, you want a politics where politics is not as important to our lives, meaning less politics. Okay, now again, how much less politics, people can disagree on the scale, but the idea is that the less important politics is to our daily lives, whether it's at the state, local, or federal level, the less we care about these elections, the less ability these elections have to sit there and causes the focus on what divides us. But also at the same time, a better economy allows us to not focus on what divides us, because if you're doing well, I mean, of course there are certain divisions that go beyond sort of like economic resentment, but a lot of them do come from economic resentment where people are struggling, so they look to other people as people who are sort of pulling from this fixed pie from them. Okay, so again, this is why market economics matters, why having free markets, free trade, okay, matters, because in a better economy, a lot of divisions in society will just naturally heal because people will just be better off. If you have the resources, just focus on your family, the focus on your life, focus on your community, you're not necessarily going to be as worried about what everybody else is doing. Okay, again, there are certain divisions that go beyond that. That comes to a matter of more cultural discussion of saying, just making the case to people that it is better when we do get along, okay, for economic reasons, because when we get along, there's going to be more transactions. So there's more people I can buy from, more people who can buy from me. So I'm economically better off because more of us get along, more of us are willing to deal with each other. So tolerance brings us economic benefit. It brings us prosperity. But also it brings us pleasure in life, okay? The more people who I accept into my social circles, those are people who are my friends, who become my family, who become people who I may have a romantic relationship with, people who just enrich my life with their experiences and their stories that I learn from. And that makes me richer in a social sense. So pluralism is good, okay? And embracing pluralism is good for your pocket. It's good for your heart and it's good for your mind. And the danger is the politics. It's the politics that makes you look at each other and doubt each other and get scared of each other and hate each other. So we need to push away from that. It's the need to make everything a political decision that makes everything a divisive decision. It's the need of some to turn everything into a struggle for power that drives a wedge into the kind of unity we can have across all types of lines of division. Okay, this is the message I have as a libertarian. This is the thing I want people to understand, that being free is good. Being free will make you richer and happier, but being free means, like, here's a good analogy. And this is kind of like going to get at a bunch of people who I know are thinking, well, like, libertarianism just means you don't enact violence on people. None of this, like, hippie go love each other stuff. Well, think about it this way. A flower or a plant is just the stem and the roots and the flower. It's not the soil. Okay? So I can't sit there and say the soil is part of the flower. Okay? I am not saying that the desire for pluralism, the desire for tolerance, the desire for love in society, these things are inherently libertarian. You can be a libertarian and not want these things because you don't believe that people should compel each other or use violence on each other, etc. But the flower cannot live without the soil. Okay? It's the fertile ground that allows the flower to grow. In the same sense, I do believe that while things like pluralism, love, forgiveness aren't necessarily part and parcel of the word libertarian. For a libertarian to create a fertile soil for a libertarian world of no compulsion, of no aggression, of all that stuff to exist, you do need those things. We do need to broadly not want to hurt each other. We do need to broadly not necessarily like each other, but tolerate each other enough to not hurt each other. Be willing to forgive each other so that we, our differences don't turn into hate and resentment to the point that we do want to compel each other, or we are so scared of each other that we choose to compel each other. There's a certain fertile ground that we must create. It doesn't mean people have to be of the same faith. It doesn't, but there are certain sort of virtues that we want to promote across whatever you believe. Forgiveness is not something that it is particularly, that any particularly faith, ideology, philosophy has a monopoly on. Kindness is not something that anyone has a monopoly on. We can all be kind regardless of what you believe. We can all be more forgiving regardless of what you believe. And we can all be more tolerant regardless of what you believe. And in doing so, you can create the fertile ground for a freer world. And in that freer world, you sit there and you reap the economic and the social benefit from that freer world. Okay? So yes, there is a definition to what it means to be libertarian. And a lot of things I talk about aren't necessarily within the realm of strictly of that definition. But there's a lot of things that I talk about that I think create the fertile sound, the fertile ground, the fertile soil to allow libertarianism to thrive. And I think that's an important distinction. I think it's a distinction worth thinking about. Okay, there's a difference between sort of what your ethical philosophy is versus thinking of what is a context in which your ethical philosophy can thrive and maximize its value to society. Because at the end of the day, the reason why we have ethical frameworks, philosophical frameworks, is because you believe there is a society. If you were on an island on your own, it wouldn't matter. Like, who are you arguing ethics with? Who are you having sort of a dispute over scarce resources with? No one. Okay. So the fact that we do have ethical disagreements, philosophical disagreements, all implies that we all desire to find sort of a framework for which a society can function, for which a society can exist and thrive. It's sort of implied in that, because or else why would you bother having the argument if you didn't care? If you had absolutely no care about the ability for society to function, then you wouldn't care about ethics. Maybe out of somewhat of a self-defense kind of thing, being like, well, I just want everyone to practice a certain level of ethics just so that way there's less odds that something bad happens to me. But to some level, the fact that you engage in this discussion, the fact that you're listening to me right now, you believe that society, the fact that several individuals can coexist, and resources, you care that this thing that is society exists, and you want it to thrive, you want people to be happier. Okay, not that, you know what, again, I'm not arguing for utilitarianism here. I'm not saying that, hey, if it makes more people happier, anything goes. But I'm saying the reason why you do have ethical frameworks, the reason why we do sit there and say, hey, don't use violence, I'll sit there and say, hey, people should be more tolerant and forgiving. Why I say pluralism is good, because I do care about society, and I do care about sort of a context in which there is the greatest probability of good outcomes. Okay, and again, good outcomes, even that subjective. So broadly good outcomes, and things that more people than not will agree are better outcomes. Not the ideal outcomes for X person. Again, that's the problem when you start getting into utilitarian. Like, what are you maximizing? I'm not trying to maximize anything, but just increase the probability. And free people, when they're pursuing their ends, when you're doing your thing, you're going to have a higher probability that you're going to get something that makes you happy. And if more people have the higher probability of doing something that's going to make them happy, that means more people getting that higher, you're going to end up with a higher probability of happiness. Okay? Yeah, so kind of went off on a tangent there, but to summarize again, at the end of the day, like, what divides us is politics. Racism, sexism, classism, cultural protectionism, the terms of like immigrant, looking at like at immigrants or different groups the wrong way. All of this is just political constructs to give people the false sense that they don't have to do anything other than vote for someone to punish someone else, but erodes at the very things that do make us better. Our willingness to interact and trade and engage with each other. And that is my political mission, to change that culture, to change that political culture. Like, I'm going to keep saying this stuff till it's blue in my face, that if we just chose to focus more on engaging each other directly, being better to each other, and loving each other more, that we would all be more free, more rich, more happy. That's the bottom line. Cut out the middleman. Be good. Be rich. Be happy. Okay, my name is Alex Merced from alexmerced.com. Have a great day and enjoy.